years ago, it's called, thank you for giving to the Lord, and just, I dreamed I went to heaven, you were there with me, walked along the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea, there were people singing, came from miles around, and I forget all the words, but anyway, it was really good. But watch this, what it was saying is that there are people going to come up to you in heaven and say, you're the reason I'm here. Yeah, you're the reason I'm here. One of the lines says something like this. It says that, that there was a missionary that came to your church, and you didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. But because you gave it, I'm here today. Isn't that awesome? It's the little things, man. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. How many love Jesus in this room? Come on. He loves you more. Let's just get that established. He loves you more. He's crazy about you. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. People want to know the update on the building, and there's really none. But people keep coming looking at it, but nobody buys it. Because I believe that God has set us up to own it. Amen. I believe we're here. Let me just tell you this story, and you probably heard it before, but you can hear it again. When we first moved into this building, and there were it was an Assembly of God church, the whole thing, but. But when I was meeting with the district presbyter and we were driving around, I said to him, happened to be Pastor Jennings, who was the pastor at Christian Life Center. He said, I don't know if we're going to rent it from you for a long time, whether we're going to lease it, whether, we're going to buy it, or whether you're going to give it to us. I said, but I believe that we are here to fulfill the purpose for which this property was dedicated to the Lord for. I said, I'm not putting any pressure on you. I know that this was dedicated to the Lord to bring God's glory to this little piece of property for this area. And for the last 25 years plus now, we've done just that. 20 years in this particular building, almost 21. But I just believe that's going to continue. Amen. Now, I can't guarantee that there's nothing, but I was, a couple weeks ago, I was down at Oklahoma, and I read again in Mark 11 where it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I said, Lord, I desire this building. I desire this property. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to believe you for it. Amen? So we're still, building the building fund up and whatever, but what seems impossible with man, come on, is possible with God. We just got to believe. And that will lead me to, I've got to tell you this story. Years ago, I'd just gotten saved. I was in a place where I was building a house, needed lots of money to build a house and whatever, but I went to a meeting and they were going to do a missions trip to Honduras. And I said, well, anybody that wants to go, or feels, compelled like you'd like to go, come down here and pray, get prayed for. And I wanted to go, so I went down there. Now, there was no physical way that I could do it. There was no way financially that I could do it. It was a lot of money at the time. But I said, I want to go. And the guy was praying for me. He says, don't worry about the money. If God's put it in your heart to go, believe him for the money. Right? Long story short, he did. I went. It was amazing. But I shouldn't have been able to go based on my checkbook. But I believed God. So even like when a conference comes up and you go, oh, I don't know if I got the money for that, stop that. And say, God, do you want me to go? Because if you want me to go, the money will be there. Come on, it'll be there. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Actually, go back into chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Can everybody say amen? Amen. The word of the Lord endures forever. What does that mean? If God said it, it will stand. If he spoke it, it will come to pass. Come on. The word of the Lord endures forever. In other words, that Bible that you dusted off today to bring with you will always be the same because it is the truth. Come on, the word is the truth. It's alive. It's powerful. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And look at what he says. Come on, this is really good. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. How many had the gospel preached to you? How many at some point you accepted Jesus because the gospel was preached to you, or the message of salvation was, you know, and you decided that, you know, I need that, right? Now listen, this is so cool. He says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. I'm not going to go there very much, but watch this. Because the gospel was preached to you, that there's a corresponding action that should just be the natural thing, that you should just put this stuff aside. Come on. All the malice, all the deceit, all the lying, you know, put it aside. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. Or two, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Has anybody tasted God's graciousness? Has he been good to you? Come on, has he been good to you? I kind of look at it this way. Anytime he doesn't strike me dead, he's being good to me. Right? I mean, and when I say that, I'm saying it jokingly, but on the other hand, if I had to stand before him in my own righteousness, right, I'd be burned up. Remember when Moses went and he said, I want to see your glory, I want to see your presence. He says, well, hide in the rock over here and turn around so that you don't look at me, because if you looked at me, you'd be consumed by my presence. Right? And so that thinking is like, oh, God. What's that? 1 Peter, I'm sorry, did I say 2 Peter? Well, thank you for your confusion. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now that'll make more sense to you. Now watch this, because this is so cool. Because God is in his grace has come to us, we can now stand in his presence without being torched. Come on. In other words, when we don't have to go to God and say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, don't strike me dead. Or we don't have to, because the gospel was preached to us, we have to come to an understanding that my sins are gone, they're forgiven, they're out of here. And so it's brought me to a different level. And his grace has brought me to a different level. But because it's brought me to a different level, it ought to affect me in every area of my life. It does. He has. And he's good. But have you tasted of God's graciousness? There's more. I said there's more. There's more. But we have to walk into it by feeding on his word. I love this terminology. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. You know what you know what newborn babes do? They cry, they eat, they sleep, do some other things. and then cry and eat and sleep and do some other things, and they cry and they, but they're totally and completely reliant upon God or upon their parents for their survival. You know the word, one of the names of God is El Shaddai, and we call it that, you know, the all-sufficient one. But actually in the Hebrew, and this is really interesting, it can be translated the breasty one. The breasty one. And what does that mean? That means he's the one who will supply every bit of nourishment that you need. Come on, he's full of it, right? He's full of it for you. But just like a little baby, seek after God. Seek for God. Seek God. Because he's there for you. Come on. You know, right, that when you got saved, when you got born again, something changed on the inside of you. You're not the same person that you used to be. And it's all because of Jesus. Woo. Look at this now. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and are precious. We kind of talked about this last week, but I want to carry this further because we're coming to God as a living stone, a living, breathing stone, something that's precious to God. Precious to God. Did you know that this is really interesting? I read this years ago that some scientists built the Ark of the Covenant by the dimensions and everything in the Bible, and they just calculated that the conductivity of that piece of furniture was such that if it was zapped by, I mean, it would just radiate out energy, right? Well, God's glory on the inside of us is ready to make us living stones. What do I mean by that? He wants to use you like he did David over here to emanate out his glory so that it can touch other people. But something happened to you when you got saved. Something happened to you when you gave your heart to Jesus. And that something that happened to you is that God's graciousness was transmitted to you and you became chosen by God and precious. So many of us live under the shame of our past and the shame, and God is saying, I want that completely eliminated because that's no longer you. I want to tell you that you are somebody in the spirit that sometimes doesn't show up on the outside. What do I mean? I mean, you might be addicted in your flesh, but you're free in your spirit. You might be broke in your finances, but in the spirit realm, all your needs are already met. Right? You might have the devil pounding on your head, but in actuality, he's already set you free from anything the enemy would bring to pass. You might be ashamed of yourself, but as far as God's concerned, the shame is gone. You know what would be a great church service? I think this would just be awesome. We're all here, we're worshiping the Lord, and the rapture happens. Right? Unless you were left behind. But that's a different story. that's a different story. But good movie. But a different story. But watch this. In an instant we'd all be with him together. Do you know that your spiritual condition right now would be no different than it would be that second? That's powerful. What do I mean? Why would we be allowed into heaven? Is it because you're a good person? Is it because you were in church that morning? No. Absolutely, you gave your heart to Jesus, and the blood of Jesus cleansed you from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? You've heard me say it before, but it just bears repeating. We walk around in shame that doesn't belong to us, because the blood is enough to take it. We're precious to God. We're not dead, but we're living. Watch this. Come on, let's go on. This is really cool. We need to live out of the life that He's given to us rather than trying to live our lives out of our past. And we're not away from God, but we're with God. Look at verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. I grew up in a church, as many of you know, that we had priests. I had several priests, monsignors, bishops, you know, cardinals, all of that. And I'm not really down on that particular denomination necessarily. But what I am so excited about is that I don't need a priest to go to God, because I am one. Because I am one. I've been set aside for the service of God. And, you know, under the Old Testament, which would be more conduent to what we're talking about here, the priest's job was to offer the sacrifices required to satiate the demands of God to make people holy. We've been made a royal priesthood. What does that mean? You have the gospel, you have the word of God on the inside of you that can make any man saved, any woman saved, any child saved, any child right with God. Isn't that awesome? But you've got to see yourself that way. You got to begin to see yourself and walk around like, you know, I am, watch this, I am a holy priesthood. I'm able to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Again, you may not see it. You may not have experienced it. And we've had glimpses of it. But when we're offering the sacrifice of praise, heaven will join in with people who are worshiping God from their hearts. Why? Because we are the people that God has created in the new birth to worship Him together. Wasn't but a few weeks ago, their voices were back here that we weren't here. Right? We've heard it before, where instruments were being played that we weren't playing. Why? Because heaven was joining and with the worship. Is that awesome? But you're able to begin to believe God for that because you've been made a holy priesthood. You're a chosen people. Come on. And again, if I could just burn this into our hearts this morning, that you're not rejected, you're chosen. You're not abandoned, you're loved. You're not without, you're with Jesus. But it's all about our life in Him. Come on. He paid a very big price. But because you accepted his sacrifice, you're different. You're not the same. You can walk with thousands of people around you, and if none of them are saved, you're the one that's different than any of them. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And if people are sensitive, even in the spirit, they know it. Let me just tell you this. The Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is more powerful than the spirit of death that's out there. That's why you don't have to be afraid of the devil. He's already been whooped. You don't have to worry about witches. Why? Because they can't cast a spell on somebody that's redeemed. Unless you fall for it. I'll tell you a story. There was a very famous comedian, and he used to, go to New Jersey and do shows and everything. But he started to go up there, and right before his show was, they let these Christian musicians come in right beforehand, and they did worship and had like a Christian concert. And he finally went to the casino or whatever place it was, and he said, "Listen, don't ever book them again before me." Why? Because I can't be funny with the vulgar things that I bring after they set an atmosphere of holy. Why? Because the chosen have come. But do you see yourself as chosen? Or, well, I'm just getting through life, I'll get through today, hopefully I'll pay my bills this month, and at the end of it all, I'll die. Right? I mean, I'm just living my life day by day. Or do you wake up in the morning and say, "I'm chosen. I'm chosen." Now again, that's not to bring an ego onto us, but it brings us to the place where, God, you can use me supernaturally in my life. I don't have to live my life with just my natural constraints, because I am more than that. Paul said it this way: He's made us more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. I don't have to live my life in mediocrity because I've been chosen. And again, it's not so that I can go, boy, aren't I something? No, it's he gets all the glory because he's done it all. Right? See, I want you to begin to get a picture of who he's made you to be so that you can live like it. You need to find out who you are so that you can begin to act like it. How many have ever felt enslaved by a habit or a sin that seems to keep coming back? Come on. Really? Now watch this. That's because that you don't know who you are on the inside. Because if you plead the blood against it and begin to stand against it, it says that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. Glory to God. So, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm still fighting it. Well, maybe you're fighting it the wrong way. Maybe you're fighting it rather than surrendering to who God's made you. And what I mean by that is, Father, I'm coming to you right now. You know this thing. You know what's going on in my life. You know it seems to keep coming back. But God, I'm just going to begin to worship you. I'm just going to begin to rejoice in the fact that I'm chosen in you and that you've made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, Lord. That sin has no dominion over me. For God, you have made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you begin to view yourself through the lens of being chosen in Him. Hold your place because we'll come right back here. But go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 for me for a while was kind of confusing because I felt almost like a spiritual yo-yo. And you'll see why in a minute. In verse 1 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Many of the early manuscripts don't have that last part. It just reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, very briefly, what is condemnation? Condemnation is the sentence that's required for the offense that's been committed. In other words, if in the Old West, if you were found guilty of murder, they'd take you right, the judge would stand up and said, I condemn you to die by hanging at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, right? So the condemnation was with the sentence. But this says that every sentence that was required because of the sin that I committed is no longer on me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Whew, glory. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad for that. Glory to God. Glory. Some of us, we could get up here and let's do a scale. My sin's bigger than your sin, right? This is, and we get testimonies and testimony service and we'll just go, man, that guy was a murderer. He was a, there was a testimony of a guy, his name was Ice Pick, right? Back in the full gospel business, his name was Ice Pick. And why? Because that was his weapon of choice when he worked for the mob. But we thought, man, that's a great testimony. It's no greater than your testimony. Amen. Right? Because just as there's no condemnation to Ice Pick, there's no condemnation on me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want you to see in the next few verses, there's two groups of people that are being talked about. Those in Christ Jesus and those who don't know Him yet. So when you're reading through this, so that you're not a spiritual yo-yo, because I read through this before, well, there's no condemnation as long as I'm walking in the Spirit and not the flesh. But if I do something fleshly, then I'm no longer in the Spirit, and therefore I'm under the condemnation again. See? And that's how many Christians walk around. If I do right, then I am right. But if I don't do right, then I'm wrong. And God doesn't like me as much. I'm not telling you to do wrong, but what I'm telling you to do is that He has paid the price for your wrongness to make you right. Woo, glory to God. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, I was under the law of sin and death before Jesus became Lord of my life, but now I'm no longer under that law, but I'm under the law of life that is in Christ Jesus. So if you want to walk like you're the chosen, then you need to begin to see yourself with the life of God working on the inside of you. I have the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus, and He has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? He took my condemnation. He who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't have to bear sin in my flesh any longer because my flesh has been freed in my spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I'm chosen. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I can draw from that power that's on the inside of me to get rid of the things that I don't like about me anymore. The Bible says to walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What does that mean? Walk like the child of God that you are. But you have to remind yourself of it. You have to picture yourself. You have to renew yourself. You need to take the Word of God and as, give me more, God. Give me more. 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 Let me see again. Let me see. 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 How many in this room would be all right right now if God said, I want to show you how I see you? Right? Absolutely. Why? If you know what's correct, you'll say, well, God, you see me through the blood of Jesus. Amen. So you see me as your chosen. You see me as a royal priesthood. You see me as a child of God. You see me dressed in the armor of God. You see me that way. But if you're still living under the realm of condemnation, what you're going to say is, oh, God, no. Oh, God, no, because you'll show me how bad I am, how ugly I am, how undeserving I am. And you see, that's condemnation that you're taking on that he's already paid the price for and it doesn't belong to you. Why is this so important? Because you can't rule if you're still living under servanthood. And God wants you to rule and reign in this life. Why? So that you can have a bunch of stuff and just look cool. No, I mean, he doesn't mind that. But the real reason is so that you can be his priesthood doing acts of service so that others can see him in you. Is that good? That's so awesome. So awesome. Now watch this. Verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The righteous requirements of the law. In other words, the law stated this is what you need to be right with God. This is what's required if you're going to be able to be accepted in His presence and in His glory. And there weren't just 10 commandments, there was like 631. And the Bible says if you messed one up, you messed them all up. Right? But thank God. I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. That He is able to keep me from falling. He has put me back in the place where I am now okay with God. Why is that important? Because if I didn't believe that, if I didn't understand that, I couldn't stand up here and say, listen, I got something for you from God. How could I stand up here and say, well, listen to me because, you know, I'm really right with God, and if you guys were like me, then you would be all right. The reality is no, we're all in the same boat. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, but thank God. Thank God that He's put us in a position to rule and reign in Him. I'm not walking according to the flesh. I'm walking according to the Spirit because the Spirit of God now lives on the inside of me. So I refuse to live under condemnation anymore. You know what condemnation says? You're not worthy enough. Condemnation says you can't do this or you can't do that. You know, come on, if you've been convicted of a crime and you're out, but well, there's certain part rights that aren't yours anymore because you know you're less than everybody else. And God said, that's all been done away with. That's good news. That's good news. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 6 says, therefore, it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Do you believe on him? Then shame has no part of you. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. What does that mean? If you receive Jesus, you know, you're in him. If you don't, you're in trouble. Right? And if you begin to walk around like Jesus is real and he's alive and he's on the inside of you, you might just make some of your family mad. You might just make the world mad. And if you start living out of that and things start happening for you, they're going to go, who do you think you are? And you can say, have you got a minute? Let's go. Verse 9, it says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look, I could preach on that for an hour. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When was the last time you're by yourself and you say, God, can I have just a minute of your time? I want to praise you. I want to honor you. I want to thank you that I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I want to thank you, Lord, that you called me out of darkness. And Lord, now I'm living in your marvelous light. I mean, actually do it with your mouth out loud to yourself. To yourself. Well, I've never done that. It could be the reason that you're still walking in shame. It could be the reason why you're still feeling less than. Verse 10, who once were not a people but are now the people of God and who have obtained mercy but now have obtained who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners, as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which are war against your souls, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that they may, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Come on. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. It goes on to talk about how you should live your life and how you should live it out. But it's not like I've got to do this to obtain this. No, it's I've obtained this so I can do this. Right? It's a whole different. One is religion, one is relationship. One says you can get close to God if you don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. But relationship is, I've done everything that's required of you to come into the family, and now if you'll live your life through me, then all of these things can no longer control you. So you need to take Jesus into your sin. Let me say that again. You need to take Jesus into your habit instead of hiding it from him. You need to take Jesus into your pain. As David was talking about that book, the whole principle is, do I have to relive this? No, yes and no. You have to take Jesus into it so that he can show you that he's already healed you of it. That no longer, that thing that's causing condemnation to come up in you, that thing that's causing you to live like a fool, that thing that's causing you to hide, has already been dealt with. So if you bring me into that, I'll show you that that no longer has a hold on you. bring Jesus into the pain, not so that he can point it out to you and show you how bad you are, but take Jesus into the pain so that he can say, I've dealt with that. Come out from underneath that, because you're no longer that. You're now a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Come on. That you might show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness. Look at even the world, even if they're arguing against you, even if there's a day of his visitation that they're going to go, wow. Look at who they really are. God needs us to live our lives for what he's done for us. Come on. Hallelujah. Because you are a holy people. Now listen, I want to tell you, the Bible says, and we could go, one more, and that's it, and I will quit. I know the potluck's smelling good down there, but just hang with me. Go to Revelation chapter 5. The book of the Revelation chapter 5. The first Revelation, yeah. Chapter 5. Verse 9 says this. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, talking about Jesus, and have redeemed us to God by your blood. You want to know what you're going to be singing about Jesus in heaven? Hallelujah, you're worthy to take that scroll. You've redeemed us by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You know why I like this verse so much? Is because it's out of every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. What does that mean? Your background doesn't mean a thing. People have lived under the shame of where they came from. And God said, no, I'm taking a people out of every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. Look at, and you're no longer less than. In God's kingdom, you've been made kings and priests unto him. So you need to lift yourself out of that and begin to live out of who you are. Whew. Other people might try to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. But when you see yourself as he sees you, then you'll be able to do what God's called you to do. Amen. Come on. I'm not less than by whatever label somebody else puts me under. I'm who he says I am. I'm a child of God. I can stand against the devil and he's got to flee from me. I can believe God and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I believe this, and I will close. I believe this, that your limitations of allowing God to show you who you are in the Spirit is the limitation of what God can do through you here on the earth. So Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, let us see. Lord, we want to die to ourselves, but Lord, we want to live our lives through faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us. Lord, we want to reach our full potential in you so that, Lord, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, you will get the glory and it'll be replayed over and over again. Look what God has done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Woo! Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you just to stand to your feet for just a minute. And I want you to say this with me. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. He who knew no sin took my sin that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer a slave to the dominion of sin. For Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. I now have the life of God living on the inside of me. I am chosen by God. I'm loved by God. I'm accepted by God because of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that your graciousness has come on to me. I am a child of God. I am a son of God. I am who you say I am. I can do what you say I can do. You're not finished with me. So, Lord, from this moment on in my life, I plan to rule and to reign in you in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, just bow your head for just a minute. Close your eyes. If this doesn't seem real to you, get alone with God and say, Lord, is that true? And then find the scriptures that talk about it and allow him to make it real to you. Sometimes in our spirits, can it be? Is it possible? It's not because of what you do or don't do. It's only possible because Jesus did it for you. We know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That hell's real. A lot of people are going there. A lot of people are going there. A lot of people are dying and going there to spend eternity outside of God. Don't let that be you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, come on. It's time to do that. If you've been living your life outside of the privileges of what God has for you, I would just ask you to just reconnect your life to him right now, right this moment, and say, Lord, I want more of you. I want to become thirsty for your word again. I want to become enamored with your presence again. I want to follow after you. If any of those things are stirring in your heart right now, as we pray this prayer together, I just want you to yield yourself to God, and he's going to touch you. Just everybody together. Father, in Jesus' name, you sent Jesus to die in my place. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who paid the price. And you accepted his sacrifice by raising him from the dead. So I believe it. I believe my sins were carried away. And I believe that your righteousness has been given to me. I yield my life to you right now. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord. 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 Come on, thank you, Lord. You're not mad at me anymore. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the potluck downstairs. We ask you to bless the food. Father, we just thank you for it. God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Before you're dismissed, and if I could have the worship team just come up and we'll just do a worship song of dismissal. If you need prayer for anything this morning, if God's speaking to you, maybe you've never been filled with the Spirit. What do I mean by that? You've never received your heavenly prayer language. You can have that today. Come on. Come this morning. If you need healing in your body, if you just need God to touch you and give you answers, come because He's here. Amen? Amen. So let's sing this worship song. Don't leave without going downstairs and saying hello to everybody. And we'll just be blessed in Jesus' name. I just sense His presence here so much. Come on. So if you need a touch, just come on up. Hallelujah. But let's worship Him together.